Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, our next guest is a taxi driver from Kilkenny who, following his own experience of suffering from depression, started a taxi service where the mission is to raise awareness and prevent suicide in the community. Through his service, hundreds of people have been pulled back from taking their own lives. And on the line now to tell us more, we have Derek Devoy, founder of Taxi Watch Suicide Prevention. You're very welcome to the show, Derek.
Thank you very much, Rob.
First of all, Derek, can you share with us a bit about your own story which led to the founding of Taxi Watch?
Yeah, back in 2010, I was involved in a car accident. A drunk driver ran into the back of me, and I damaged my back, and seriously damaged my back. And I ended up getting 3 surgeries on my back. But every time I came out of hospital, I just went downhill. I knew nothing. I knew absolutely nothing about depression, suicide, absolutely nothing. In fact, I'm actually ashamed to say it. If somebody had said to me they were depressed, I kind of said, like, what's wrong with you? Get a grip. You don't need to be depressed. You have everything. What's wrong? And I was like that, and I was like that. And every time I came out of hospital, I just went down and down and down and started crying and crying. And I was ashamed. I was absolutely ashamed of myself. I was embarrassed. I wasn't a man. I didn't feel like a right man. And everything went through your head.
Absolutely.
Like, why did my wife marry me? Why did she not get somebody that was normal? All these things, like the worst things you can think of.
About yourself. I know what you mean.
About yourself. Yeah. And you're fighting with your own head. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but when I came out of hospital, I just got so low that I just contemplated suicide, and I made 3 attempts at it. And every time I did, I was stopped, thank God. And I hated the people who stopped me. And then one man pulled me back across the bridge one day, and I hated him for it at the time. Now I love him.
Yeah, amazing.
And yeah, and it's just horrific. And my first night back to work, I came across a person standing on the bridge, and I got him down off the bridge, got him into the car, and said, look, I'll get you help. Didn't know anything, didn't know where to take him for help or what to do, and called the guards, and the guards came and took him away. And an hour later, I went over the same bridge, and there was another chap on the bridge, which was 2-1 night.
That's amazing.
So yeah, so that's how this all started.
Now, in between those 2 events, you actually did go and get a little bit of help from a therapist, I believe.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't done it.
Yeah.
The last 3rd attempt that I made in my life, I was going home. I don't actually remember any of the drive from Kilkenny, Dublin to Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And I was gone. I had enough. I was done. And I just said, look, this is not right. I won't say what I wanted to do, but I just wanted to end it all there and then that day. And
sure.
I went home and said, look, I need to go see a doctor. Now, I hid it for I spent 8.5 months in my room. My wife and kids would get up for work and school, and they'd head off to work. I'd get dressed, I'd go out, get into the car, I'd drive out the gate, and when they were gone, I used to go back in and get back into bed.
Wow.
I got up at 10 to 6 before they came home.
Yeah.
I was just so ashamed of it. I just didn't feel like a man, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'm 23 stone, I'm too tough for this. That's all they thought. And I just cried and cried and cried all day. So eventually I went back to the doctor, and that was it.
And the doctor gave you some help at that point?
Straight in then, and straight into counselling, and that just worked. That's just only for that.
And that seems to have been a turnaround for you, because you went from being somebody who loathed the person who had, I suppose, saved you and stopped you from jumping off the bridge, to becoming the person who then one night is driving along and sees somebody on a bridge and goes, I'm going to stop them.
Yeah. Well, it's just, look, if you see it happening, you know what's going on.
You know
there.
What it's like.
You know, like, yeah. I always say this, if you haven't been through depression or suicide, don't tell somebody who has, you know what they're going through, because you haven't a clue.
Yeah.
And it's yeah, like, people come up to you and say, oh, look, I know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
You have no idea if
yeah.
you haven't been through it yourself.
No.
So you can't say that to me. And to say that to somebody is condescending. And it's making them feel like they don't. Nobody understands.
It's true. It's glib, and it kind of makes them feel even more isolated, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. It's kind of like, you don't believe me and stuff like that. But, like, if you haven't got lived experience, like, you can go to college, and I see all these counsellors, people going to college for 4 years doing counselling, and they come out, they've never had depression in their life, they've never had suicidal thoughts in their mind, and they come out and they're trying to help you. Like if you haven't got lived experience, I firmly believe, this is my own opinion, that you can't help people.
You're so right.
How can you tell somebody what they're going through if you haven't been through it?
Yeah. So right.
I just believe that myself. I know, maybe it's wrong, I don't know.
I think you're dead right, Derek, to be honest. and we could all be a little more humble in dealing with other people's problems, and not assuming that we know what they're going through is actually sometimes a very good start, actually. Can I ask you, Derek, take you back to that first evening back when you took 2 people back off the kind of off the bridge. Did you know, how was their response to you when you did that, and how were you in the middle of all that? Were you conflicted yourself, or did you go, no, I absolutely must take this person down? Were they violent with you? Did they respond? What happened?
No, well, for the first person was just crying, absolutely hysterically crying, and his exact words to me were, you wouldn't understand what it's like. The bank aren't trying to take your house. This is like, sounds really, I don't know, I don't believe in kind of, you know, things happen for a reason. I always think that.
Absolutely, couldn't agree with you.
This person had been going through exactly what I had been going through. The bank was trying to take his house.
Yeah.
Couldn't see his kids, couldn't see his wife, couldn't see the family, everything, his whole life fell apart. Yeah. That's what happened to me after the car crash, because I had no income coming in, and I worked for myself. So if there's no income coming in, how do you pay your bills?
Absolutely.
Because I was hiding and couldn't physically work, I couldn't pay the bills, and just a lot got on top of me. But there was no help for me from anybody to kind of say, well, hold on a minute, we'll stop it there and we'll get back to you when you get better, we'll help you. And you're on your own when you're self-employed, and that's just, unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
That is.
But I got him off the bridge, and they were crying. Now, I always remember the second fella nearly broke my neck. My back was still sore, and he nearly broke my neck hugging me, and he said, thank you so much, and he was really appreciative. But
he was able to actually, in that moment, he was able to go, thank you for actually stepping into this moment for me and stopping me doing this thing.
Helped, like, if you see somebody that needs help, ask them straight out, are you okay? Do you need help? Are you suicidal? Ask them straight out. They'll tell you if they're suicidal. It's not, they want to be asked the question. Anybody that we've asked that question to has always said, yes, I need help.
You make
and
a very
it's a relief.
Yeah.
It's a relief off them. It's like somebody, once it's out there in the open, it's like myself, once it's out in the open, it's like somebody takes their foot off your chest.
Yeah.
And right, now I've told somebody. But like, a lot of people don't want to ask these questions because some people are afraid of the answer. If they get the answer that, yes, the answer is out, they don't know what to do.
Exactly. They panic a bit, don't they?
They panic a bit, and that's just the way it is.
You know, it's funny, Derek. You make a really fine point, which is that actually, and this is, you know, part of, you know, our own training, because I work in this area, is to say, always ask, always step in, always just do anything you can to stop people, because within 30 seconds, some people would have regretted it anyway.
Exactly, of course. Well, it's an instant, like, regret. Like, I let go of that bridge, and the second I let go of that bridge, I just got pulled over. But even though it was so quick and so milliseconds, I remember saying, I don't want to die. But it was too late. I had let go. I was gone. Yeah. And only for that person pulled me over, I was gone. But anybody that I know, I've friends all around the world are in suicide, helping people in suicide, like all of them have tried to end their own life. And they've all said, the minute they tried it, it was instant regret. Because a lot of people have the ambivalence to live. And it's built into your body. And you don't want to die. All you want is the pain to go away, the pain to stop, people to listen to you. Somebody to listen to you is amazing. If you can have somebody that listen to you, not judge you, not laugh at you, it's because you don't feel right. You feel a less person when you're depressed.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm like saddened about for me was it took me 4 years to look for help.
Yeah, exactly.
If I had done that at the start, I wouldn't have went through 4 years of hell.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing it now. I've actually gone off to become a trainer myself. I'm going into corporate customers now, and we're training people in companies to for their staff. Which is fantastic, and it's working. It's absolutely working. We're only first week. A place in Gory called Talk to Tom. They went in and they trained somebody, and went back the second week to train another 25 people, and were called in. And two people that week were stopped from taking their life in the factory that they had trained them. So it was just works, and this works, and it's simple. It's not rocket science to help this. We can all do our bit. It's everybody's responsibility.
It is,
because everybody's family.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So Derek, explain to me about how the service Taxi Watch operates then.
What we've changed completely, to be honest with you. At the start, when we started, I went off. I was afraid to see the first night I came across the bridge. I was afraid, what if I had said something different and they jumped? Yeah. How would I live with that? So I said, I wonder, is there anything I can learn to talk to people and how to say it properly and what to say properly and what not to say? And there was. So I went off and done a training course. Went back, done another one, thought it was brilliant, and I got 25 taxi drivers from Kilkenny to come and do it with me, so they all came. And then, so what we used to do was go down kind of by rivers and drive around Kilkenny as we're working, looking out for people. And if you saw somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning down by a river, we'd get out of the car, go over and ask them, are they okay? That's initially what we started. But now it's at, and we've 238 interventions since we started, But since we started it now, nobody is going down to the river anymore in Kilkenny, which is fantastic.
Wow.
Absolutely. Nobody. There hasn't been a person gone down. It's just been fantastic.
What's it like, Derek, when you bring home, say, a young person to their home, you know, like, and they could be living at home, or parents, or somebody's at the door? What's that like?
The first thing that happens to parents is thank you, guard. That's the first thing.
Thank you, guard.
Thank you, guard. I may say, I'm not a guard, I'm a taxi driver.
Sure, yeah.
And they look at you and then say, what? And they don't understand, because you ring them first to find out, because obviously we wouldn't drop somebody home on their own and leave them in an empty house. So we always try and make them. The last thing we're trying to do is bring somebody to A&E. That's the very last thing we're trying to do. Unless, obviously, they really needed to go and we couldn't help them. But if we can put them in touch with their family and go back and talk to the family, a lot of times the family have absolutely zero idea of what they're going through.
Yeah.
And it's a relief for them, for us to tell the parents. Like I always tell them straight out. As I said, I don't hold back on this, because we need to talk about it. It's normal. It's the same as having a toothache. I'm convinced that it's as common as a cold. Depression is now, so like, there's nothing at all to be ashamed of.
Yeah,
not one single thing to be. We all go through bad times. Everybody, no matter who you are. I've driven celebrities for the last 15 years. As a chauffeur, and I've had, I can't name them obviously, but I've had celebrities in my car who have everything, who anything you can possibly imagine or wish that you had, they have it, and they've been depressed in the back of my car. And these are like top celebrities, like top singers, top actors. They have everything that you can possibly dream of, and they're still depressed.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether you have a euro in your pocket or 20 million, you still get depression, that's it.
That's absolutely right. Derek, it's quite extraordinary, because, you know, talking is important, as you say, and yet you're a taxi driver, you're trying to, you know, your job being taxi man, trying to, you know, earn a crust. And I'd say when you're sitting listening to customers in the taxi, there's that moment where you go, well, actually, this is now costing me. I'm here talking to you.
Well, personally, I don't. Our idea at the start was, see, I'm different. I will sit there all night. I'll sit there for 3 weeks talking to the person in the car to save them, because I've been through it.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what they want, and I know what help they need, and I'll do that. I'll sit there forever. I don't care about money. I've completely and utterly, my life has changed since 2010. My outlook on life has changed, even driving in the car. If somebody cut you off in 2010, there's a good possibility I would have got out of the car and went up and sat banging on the window and said, what the hell did you do that for?
Yeah.
Now I don't. I don't. I just completely changed my whole entire life, because I don't know what these people are going through. Nobody knows any day what's going through somebody's head. Like, so the easiest way out is to be kind. And if you're kind every day to somebody, you're not going to... You're like words matter. Words really, really matter, what you say to somebody.
Yeah.
Bullying, you mightn't think it's bullying, but... the reason I snapped, the third time I snapped, I'm 23 stone, I'm overweight, I understand that. And it doesn't bother me. Somebody can hear me and slag me all day long. But one fella said something to me and it absolutely struck a nerve, and I wanted to kill him. I snapped. I got the wheel brace out of the car and I went driving looking for him, and I'm not like that. Wasn't me, like.
Yeah.
I've never been in trouble in my life with the guards, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to end this man's life as well for what he said to me.
And that's what the illness does to you.
We need to be kinder to each other, and that's
absolutely right.
Bottom line, yeah.
Now, there is, I can tell there's a huge demand for the service. Can you give an estimate on how many numbers who availed of the taxi watch service?
Well, we have 238 direct interventions for people. That's people, like, physically either on a wall or wherever they've been. But now, as I said, what's happening is Messenger, we get an average of 1.5 million hits a month on Facebook. My Facebook page is just massive. That's absolutely crazy how busy it is, and the messages come through on that. But it's people kind of, me telling my own story, believe it or not, helps so many people.
I can well imagine.
It's amazing, because people understand, like, if anybody can get through it, well, maybe I can. And that's all. People just want a bit of hope.
Yeah.
Nobody, as I said, nobody wants it. They want a bit of hope. And if they can get hope in their life, you're grand. I'm not a holy Joe or anything like that. I don't go to mass.
Sure.
Once or twice a year, it's nothing to do with religion. But as I said, people just want to make sure, think like that this will pass, and it does. It does always pass. I know you see signs, it's okay not to feel okay. I know you see all of these things, but they are actually true. They do pass, and time, bad times go, and people, if they just ask, like, I'm begging people out there constantly, go and ask for help.
Yeah.
Go and ask, speak with your doctor. They won't look down on you. And people, what really kills me is when I see a post on Facebook saying, don't take your medication. Medication makes you turn into a zombie. Medication does this. Your medication, oh, yeah. Medication works for a lot of people. It doesn't work for some people. It works for a lot of people. It worked for me. Within weeks, I felt much better on my medication. I'm not on it now. Everybody says you'll be on it for the rest of your life. I was only on it for a couple of months. And it's completely changed my head. It allowed me to go and physically set foot in a counsellor's chair and sit there.
Well, it stabilises you for enough time for you to actually do the therapies. And then you can sort yourself out. It's brilliant, you know?
Yeah, but what was killing me was I had no money coming in. And the counselling was 120 euros a session.
Yeah,
so that got to me, and that killed me.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise that there was Pieta House, that there was So Sad, that there was all these places out there that offer free counselling.
And I believe you're now, Taxi Watch is now also working with a free counselling service in Kilkenny, is that right?
We work with, Chuck Thomas in Kilkenny. It's a fabulous service. It's the same as Pieta House, basically.
Yeah.
They get absolutely zero funding, nothing. They're out constantly fundraising.
God bless them.
And they provide free counselling in Kilkenny, and there's an awful lot of people in Kilkenny who wouldn't be here today only for them. That's a sure thing. But these services are available around the whole country. If anybody wants to message me on Facebook, I can put them in touch with anybody they want, because it really does help. Like the cost of counselling can stop you going. The cost of medication, unfortunately, we can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
But some people think that, look, I can't afford the medication. So they don't take it, but it really, medication, if you're put on medication by a doctor, take it and don't come off it until you're weaned off it or taken off it. Don't ever stop taking your medication, because it'll make you 10 times worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Well said, Derek Devoy from Taxi Watch, Suicide Prevention. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, God bless you, man. And www.taxiwatch.ie is the website. And if you do need to talk in the after having heard some of these the stuff that Derek has said, remember Pieta House, 01601 0000. That's 01601 0000. And the Samaritans are at 116123. Now, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show Katrina. How are you doing, Katrina Lynch?
I'm fine. Feeling good
today.
Everybody's running now, looking at the clock and saying, oh my gosh,
that's right,
is that the time? Is it only a quarter past ten?
That's right. I've more time than I thought I had.
Yeah.
No, actually, you don't. She's came in an hour late.
I've an hour late.
So listen, one of the things that we wanted to talk about, and I'm delighted you brought it up today, is the idea of learning from your mistakes.
Yes.
And because actually, when we don't learn from our mistakes, we get very stressed indeed. It's part of our nature to want to do that. So tell us.
Okay, so the principle is the same regardless of the age, but obviously you have to slightly tweak it. And there's a lot of difference between a toddler crying because his helium balloon has gone off into the air, you're trying to teach him, well, I told you to hold on to it, I told you it would happen. That then a child who, an older child who has just deleted their whole week's work.
From their iPad, yeah.
Exactly,
bless them.
You know. So it's kind of completely different, but the principles are the same. So the first thing you have to deal with, obviously, is emotion. And it's the emotion of loss. It's the emotion of regret. It's the emotion of frustration, depending on what it is that has just happened, whether it's the helium balloon gone, or whether it's you've missed your bus and you're now in difficulties, but that it's not irreparable. So the first thing, as I say, is emotion, that you have to allow the emotion to work through and to realise, and here's another one, that depending on whether it's male or female in the teenager, not so much the toddler and the child, toddlers are the same, but in the teenager you're kind of beginning to experience the differentiation, of course, God between us and all harm, to actually say there is a difference between men and women. And that the guys react in one way and the girls can react in another, that for guys it's you actually can talk to them about the logic and what has happened and how to avoid it while there's still some emotion. Forget it when
the girls. That's interesting now, yeah.
Girls, in general, for girls, there'll always be the exception, but in general, for the older girls, I'm talking about 16, 17, 18 year olds, when the emotions calm down, logic sets in.
Okay, so just wait for the
For guys, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, when the logic sets in, then the emotions calm down. So it's a slightly different approach,
yeah,
and you just kind of have to gauge it, you know. So if you come in with a little bit of logic, you know, and say, you know, oh dear, what a shame, if only you had done this, and if only you had done that, and you get a barrage, then you realise,
you
okay,
don't understand me. You're not listening to me.
There you go. There you go. There you go. So, and again, depending on what the item is. So the first thing is the emotion. Kind of gauge it. Can you get in there? Is it going to help if you try to help them solve it immediately? But one of the big emotions that you can find you're dealing with when something has gone wrong with your kids can be guilt, depending on what has happened. If they've missed an appointment or something or other, if they've hurt somebody, if they have messed up in some way, then you have to deal with the guilt. And we all know how difficult guilt can be, because there's regret and there's disappointment and all that sort of stuff to deal with. So just be aware that the immediate aftermath when something has happened is fraught with emotion.
Yeah.
And you just have to realise, the way I kind of feel about it is, it's like being trying to stand up in the sea when there's waves battering you all the time. And you kind of have to go with it and realise you're going to be battered, you're going to be given out to. It can very well be that everything you say is going to be met with. And that's okay.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, even as a dad, I find there's a couple of occasions now over the last while where, you know, and we have, you know, 14, 15 year old in that kind of very upheaval, you know, very upset, very in the throes of that kind of adolescent full hormonal, you know, going maximum hormonal, and lovely, she's lovely, but you know, when she's really like that, and every so often Joanne will just give me a look and it'll be like, you're talking to a girl.
Yeah, roll back on the logic there.
Yeah, roll back on that, you know. And you know, as a kind of artistic type, I wouldn't be full on with the logic, but there's still too much.
Yes,
you know, just the guy thing, you know. So just to go in as a dad and just go, okay, right, really, I can see what you're doing there. Is you're really trying to just help them, I suppose, modulate or moderate their own emotion and learn that when things come down, then they're able to make good decisions for themselves. And you're teaching them kind of a pattern, really, for the future, aren't you?
Well, that's it. And always, always remember, you can revisit that beautiful word. You can revisit everything, okay? Mm. Nothing is, you know, drawn a line under, you know?
Yeah.
And so when emotions have calmed down, regardless of whether you're dealing with masculine, feminine, that you can then talk about it. And I would strongly encourage that to happen. And that can be later on that night, or it can be next week, or whatever it is. And that you can start off by saying, I'd love to chat to you about what happened last Tuesday. Oh. How, you know, when you were disappointed when X, Y, or Z happened. How, obviously I'm talking about an older child now. How would you feel about that?
Oh.
And just see what they say. And if they're agreeable to talk about it, then you can, you know, by all means, and you will have had a chance to think about it. And what you're trying to effectively discover is, what was the kernel for them that caused it? Was it that you slept in late? Was it that you forgot to put on the alarm? Was it, you know, what was it that triggered the whole series of things that caused them to end up in the situation that they ended up in?
Yeah.
So that we can learn from our mistakes and realise that's where it began.
Yeah.
And so that's where I need to kind of go back. And for some occasions, it will be a simple thing of, I need to get up 5 minutes earlier, or I should have made that phone call, or whatever. And for other things, it could be a whole life change in realizing, I'm the type of person who does that.
Yeah.
So I now
That's
need
my
to
tendency.
Change that.
Yeah. And, you know, I really like the idea that you go through it with a kind of fine-tooth comb with them later on, after the emotion has died down, maybe a half a week later or whatever it is, or later on that evening or whatever. Because sometimes your own intuition as a parent can kick in and you go, actually, it's none of the above. You're actually hiding in bed. What's going on? What are you afraid of? What's really happening? And you can't really get to that intuition while you're still having this conversation with yourself about that stupid thing, didn't get up and and you know, but by actually, you know, going through it kind of piece by piece and going, was it the alarm clock? Was it that you didn't go to bed? Was it that you spent, you know, until 2 a.m. on your phone? You know, was it? And then when it's none of those things, then the intuition can kick in and go, hold on a second, what's going on here?
Especially if it seems to be a habitual thing that is happening, you know, if this is something that's happening on a regular basis. And you know, that's a very good point that you brought up, Ronan, because you could be deceived into thinking, and it would be very, very irrational, you know, kind of say, he's such a disorganized so-and-so, you know, he's always late. And it could be he's just a disorganized or she's just a disorganized so-and-so, but it could be something else, you know. And so, you know, kind of go up with your hands held high and say, I've been thinking about this and I'm just wondering, you know, could it be X? Could it be Y? Could it be Z? And always remember that an initial reaction doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going on. Because we can very often think about yourself. Somebody can say something to you and you go all defensive and you go all angry or whatever it is, or, and you might say, don't be ridiculous. Of course it's not that.
I'm fine,
you know. And it's only then when you kind of think about it, you kind of begin to think, oh, I wonder, is it that? Or I wonder, is it that? And so, you know, you never know. And guys, there's nothing wrong with being wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly, you know, the relief is enormous when you let yourself be wrong the
whole
time.
If you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, this is not, you know, sort of, there's no prizes, you know, for this. Yeah. And that's the beauty of having a number of children, because by the time you get down to your youngest
you're so exhausted from being wrong half the time.
You know, there's no surprises anymore. You can say, I'm usually wrong, but have you thought about this? You know, what? I'm right. Oh my goodness, quick, you know, roll out the fireworks, you know.
Brilliant.
So, and then last but not least, for those of us who have the joy of having a faith, we pray. We pray for our children, you know, and we pray that, you know, Lord, cover my tracks, you know, help me, guide me, give me grace, and protect them from me.
Yeah, because God loves you an awful lot more than I do, and I love you a lot.
Precisely.
Thank you so much, Katrina. We'll see you again next week. God bless you. Now, David Wilson was here earlier in the week talking about Agape's Living and Telling course, which takes place next weekend on Friday and Saturday the 20th and 21st of September. Couldn't recommend it more highly enough. It's kind of helping people talk about their own faith and how to be able to, you know, give an explanation, as St. Paul says, to give an explanation as to your faith, you know, in season and out. And while here, he agreed to take on the Life in 5 challenge. That's where our guests share about their life and faith by choosing 5 questions from a short list. And this is David Wilson in conversation with our very own Steve Johnson.
My name is David Wilson. I live in Dunleary. I'm married to Pam. We have 2 boys who are now in their 40s, and we have 2 granddaughters. I'm from Tyrone originally. Uh-huh. I came to Dublin to study. Uh-huh. I came to study natural sciences in Trinity College.
So thanks for taking on these questions, and you've chosen 5. Your first is, where do you see God in everyday life?
Well, I mentioned that my training is as a scientist, and I see God in everyday life simply in the nature around us. And my particular speciality was microbiology, which is, you know, things you can only see through a microscope. But when you look through a microscope, it is a mind-bending thing. It is a gobsmacking thing. It is a worshipful thing, the thing you see. Mm-hmm. I remember when we were brought into the electron microscope lab in Trinity College, and they showed us things that are smaller than bacteria, just viruses. One particular virus called the tobacco mosaic virus. And they projected it on the wall, and it is so beautiful. I wanted to kneel down in the lab. It is extraordinarily beautiful.
That's
so
amazing.
That's what I, and you know, the funny thing that both my wife Pam and I are interested in is the other end, the very big things in astronomy. Mm. So we always have a telescope and binoculars in the house to watch the big things in the sky.
So you see God in the large and the small.
Yeah, and you know, the average guy in the street or girl in the street says, oh, does belief in God and science clash with each other? And I find it the exact opposite. I went in to study natural sciences as a believing Christian, but I come out as a stunkingly worshipful Christian.
Your next question, David, is how does God help you in your marriage?
When we got married on the basis there were going to be three of us, God and Pam and me. And it's a good job that we started off that way, because it turned out to be a very prescient thing and a very big factor in our lives. When I was still in Galway, we lived in Galway for years and we had our first child there. But that first child died after 3.5 weeks. She was born in a Galway Regional Hospital, as it was then called. And she was looked after just with fanatic loyalty by the sisters who worked there at that time. So if God had not been the rock of our marriage, we would have been in difficulties.
When you lost your first child, now you've gone on to have other children. Was there a real struggle that you had together in understanding what God was doing in that situation?
I would say people told me at the time that they'd gone in to visit Pam in the hospital, and they said, we went in fear and trembling, you know, what are we going to say to this woman? But they said, Pam showed us what it meant to trust Jesus. And one particular woman came to the funeral of the baby, which was in Rahun Cemetery in Galway. And after that, she came round to visit our house and she said, I had secretly made a decision to trust Christ with my life. But that day in the cemetery cemented that decision, because she said, I've often been in Rahun Cemetery, but I've never heard it sung in before. So there were certainly, you can imagine, I had no idea about funerals and undertakers. I mean, you don't think about that when you're in your 20s. And indeed, I went to see an undertaker to organize the funeral. And as I explained what was happening, I said, you know, what we know from the Bible about a baby in this position is what King David said. Where he said, this child will not come back to me when his child died, but I will go to him. So I said, that's all we know, that my wife and I trust Christ, and we're going to be with him in heaven, and we hope then we would see that baby then. And the undertaker then began to cry. I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, I got into this business 9 years ago when my wife died, and I think about it ever since. So there are many, many things happened around that whole period where we could not help but see the hand of God in the whole thing.
Your next question, David, is a favourite piece of music and why?
You know, I've all kinds of interest in music. Our Elderson is a rapper. He's a very competent Christian rapper in England. Every kind of music. But my favourite piece of music is Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring by Johann Sebastian Bach. And there are two reasons. One, it's the tune we got married to. They played it in church. And two is because Bach is such a towering figure of Christian music. The way he made his music, which was a mixture of order, like a mathematician always loves J.S. Bach, and also joy, because things like Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring has a top part that just seems to go up and up and up and up. So there's order as a framework, and then joy painted on top of it. Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring, that's the choice.
And your next question is a person who had a big influence on you.
The person who had the biggest influence in my life was my father, because of the example of his life, which was an exemplary life full of integrity. But very specifically in my case, because he chose to be the person who would tell me how to trust Christ with my whole life, and in a precipitative way, and explain to me on one evening how to do that. Now, there were other people around who could have done it. There were church people, there was my mother, all kinds of different people who could have done it. But he chose that I am the boy's father, I'm going to be the one. And what's significant about that is he had an excruciating stammer. He, most of his adult life, he could scarcely speak. So it took him an entire evening to explain to me what it meant to turn my life over to Christ. And it was a good time. It was a good thing that it took that length of time, because I have a self-righteous streak in me. And it took me a while to bend the knee and to eventually say to Jesus, I want you to come into my life. So my father is the one, and especially because he stuck his neck out and did that when it was so difficult for him.
That's amazing, David, and it means it's a connection. It's a very special connection that you'll always have with your father.
Yeah.
Your final question, David Wilson, is one thing that most people wouldn't know about you.
Well, most people, I said I was a natural scientist, but most people don't know that I'm a geneticist. So I studied microbiology with a speciality in genetics. I gave a year of my life to blue-green algae and sorting out blue-green algae in NUI Galway. And the work that I did at that time was to isolate the DNA of blue-green algae. And the idea was that the algae, they jam up all the rivers, so that the navigable rivers, and we want to kill them so they don't jam up the rivers, but we want to grow them in the Atlantic for food for the 21st century. That was the plan. So I was supposed to isolate the DNA and work out how to manipulate it so we could make it die in the right places and make it live in the right places. Well, that is nowadays called genetic engineering. So I never tell students of sciences that that's what I did, because it makes me into some kind of a monster. But that is what I did.
Lovely, lovely sharing there from David Wilson, The Life in Five. And anybody who loves Bach is just fine by me. Particularly Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. What a beautiful piece of music. You can just hear his love of God in that piece of music. It was David Wilson of Agape talking to our very own Steve Johnson. And we will be continuing the Life in Five series every Thursday shortly after 11 o'clock. Now, with Apple's annual launch event held earlier this week, we have in studio a resident expert on all things techie, Richie G.
Oh, I love gadgets.
To update us on what Apple plans to launch over the next year. You're very welcome back to the show, Richie. How are you?
It's good to be here, Ronan.
I'm saying he's very, very welcome back to the show. But in fairness to Richie, every time anything goes even a little bit wrong in here, it's like, Richie, it doesn't work.
I've lit up the studio this week.
It's beautiful. So. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes it's the small things. He came in only days ago and put in all the little tiny pin spots around the place, and I tell you what, they're gorgeous. I can see everything now.
I can see clearly now.
Okay, so Richie, tell us all. Yeah, what are the big announcements? Big Apple week,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, every year they do it around this sort of time of year.
Yeah.
And the big announcement is, you know, iPhone, they've gone big on the camera, and Apple announcement, they decided actually that nobody wants to make phone calls anymore, so they've taken away that functionality. Joking.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I know, I just want to start with that.
Wouldn't put it past them. They're just too clever for their own good in Apple, aren't they?
You don't need to make phone calls anymore. What do you want a phone for?
Phone call, so 20th century.
Yeah, exactly. Getting back to reality.
So this is the iPhone 11. We have the iPhone 11 Pro, the iPhone 11 Pro Max, and the price of them.
And absolutely, you know, I just checked out. I mean, so the big changes really for the iPhone is there's two versions, the iPhone 11 and the Pro version. Now, they've improved things like audio, camera with dual camera and wide angle camera, and a new telephoto camera, ultra wide.
Now this is obviously the camera. There's something going on with this camera, isn't there?
There's a big thing about the camera, improving the pipeline of how images are processed to get the accuracy.
Really beautiful. I saw at the launch they had like something that had been that. And you normally would have like a rostrum camera, which is like, you know, onto a negative that is like the size of your head, and that's to get like a really, really big visual like this. This is taken on a camera, and it still looks beautiful.
I mean, it's incredible, actually. Yeah. And just having the three lenses on the camera and actually all working together.
So are they just trying to get like basically to get rid of other cameras?
I think they're trying to get rid of phone calls.
They're trying to say that the camera is a thing of the past. You only need your iPhone.
I mean, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, all the phone manufacturers, Samsung, are doing the same thing. They're focusing on cameras and all that sort of stuff as well. Now, the iPhone Pro, the main difference is battery life. They say on the iPhone 11, which kind of made me smile, because they said an hour longer battery. Well, that's nothing. If you use your phone intensely, you probably won't even notice.
Yeah, that's right.
The iPhone 11 Pro, however, they're saying is 4 hours longer on the Pro version, and the Max version 5 hours longer. Again, it always is down to signal strength,
how long is a piece of string. It's like, you know, it's amazing, you know, when you think about back in the day when you used to have your little, you know, whatever it was, and you could recharge it twice a week and it would be fine.
Absolutely.
Now it's like you're doing it twice a day.
The iPhone Pro also has something that they've called Deep Fusion.
Okay, so
which
tell
is
us.
Kind of clever, a little bit of technology. Basically, it takes nine images all at the same time, four shots with the different cameras, kind of things, and then kind of computerly works it all out puts it all together and brings out the quality and the image.
Yeah.
Which is
almost a 3D element to that.
Well, it's not so much 3D. Well, I suppose it looks like ultra fine HD kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
working out the picture.
Sure.
I have to say, looking at the results, it does look pretty impressive. They had some pro photographers go and take away, use the camera and come and show them some pictures that they took.
Does it look 1,100 quid's worth? Impressive, though.
You know what? I mean, I'm just trying to get into photography myself and just as a hobby. I just bought myself a DSLR because it's great having phones that does everything, but there's something about having a big lens and a proper camera, and it's kind of fun. Does it take away the enjoyment of photography?
Well, I mean, there's a skill involved there, Richie. Yeah. And like, you're learning the skill, and like,
if
the phone does everything for you, there's no skill, you know?
No, indeed. It's doing everything for you.
So the iPad?
Now, the iPad, they've got a new entry-level iPad out, which there's been rumours around this. New 7-inch iPad, new A10 Fusion chip, 2x faster, apparently. But the big thing is going to be available. You'll be able to use the smart keyboards that have the adapters on the bottom.
Yeah.
So rather than Bluetooth, it'll be the and Apple
Pencil.
That's
very good. Okay, very good.
So, and for the price point of that, in Ireland, is around, I did make a note of it here, €399 from €399.
You know what, that's reasonable.
Which is actually reasonable, and it was the pro version.
Yeah.
Is
considering they're charging $1,300 or something for the iPhone 11 Pro Max or whatever.
The iPhone 11, in the US it's a lot cheaper, but here they're charging €829.
Oh,
and
it's
available from the 20th of September, which is actually something, because it used to be in Ireland, we used to have to wait about six months.
So what about the iPhone 11 Pro is going to be more expensive again than the Pro Max?
Yeah, the Pro, it's only €100 difference in price. So $1,179 or $1,279.
Yeah, $1,279 for a mobile phone.
I'd rather buy a decent computer.
Yeah, I mean, you could get a pretty serious TV with all the bits in it for
and
that.
And what gets me, actually, people buy these expensive phones and they don't treat them like that much, and they drop them, and they throw them around.
That's right,
it's like, hey, you've got a little mini computer in your pocket. Why did you treat it like
that's going to end up bouncing off the gravel somewhere.
And then what, in a year's time, how much would it be worth?
Exactly, 2 cents.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 4.
Apple Watch is also Series 5. So
Apple
tell
Watch
me about that.
Series 5. Now, I have to say, I was kind of a little bit impressed with the Apple Watch Series 5. I wasn't overtly impressed. The big thing about it is they've improved battery life, and they've given an always-on display.
Okay.
So that basically means, and I don't want to get too technical here.
Yeah, because,
I mean, I love them actually when the Apple are giving announcements, they have some technical bot kind of on, like explaining all the amazing things how they're doing it. And it's like, okay, so basically what you're saying is you've made it technologically so the Apple Watch can have a display on all the time with clever technology to make the battery life last longer.
So that's effectively.
So it means you don't have to lift if you're not able to lift. Yeah. So basically, and these examples, if you're in a meeting, you just want to glance. The time you don't have to lift, make it obvious,
and then tap it, which is the big thing. That's very obvious.
So, and also built-in compass as well on the Apple Watch.
There's something I've noticed here, and that is, as we all know, and those of us who've had Apples for the last 30 years, which unfortunately includes me, Apple is always expensive, and everybody knows that. But it seems like their content is getting cheaper. I've noticed, for instance, that their Apple TV is less than half the price of Netflix.
Well, I mean, they've just launched Apple TV Plus, and when you think about, they have to. They're new in the market, so they have to bring it under for just around €5 a month. But the interesting thing as well, what they've done as well, they're actually making it available now. I haven't actually been able to check to see if that's available here as well. But certainly, an announcement, they said it's going to be free for a year for new purchases of iPhones and Macs.
Okay.
There's some good programs on at launch. Kind of looks quite interesting. I think their flagship series called C.
Yeah.
And a world which has lost sight and actually just getting back. That looks really interesting. Yeah.
I'm thinking about like one of the things that I use all the time, which is Logic Pro, and that is, you know, anybody who has GarageBand will know that's the light version of Logic Pro, but it's a very, very seriously powerful tool
that
we use for producing albums and we've done an awful lot of stuff with it, and really, really sounds amazing. And it was always like a couple of grand, and it's now about €200.
No, is that right?
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like there's something going on there.
They are certainly bringing the price of a lot of the software down, and
because they realize that their hardware is really expensive. Yeah. So I'm guessing this is something to do with September being 3 months before Christmas.
Oh, yes, that could well be, quite possibly. Yes, indeed. And TV Plus. I've mentioned that one.
So it's like, so what they do is they're sort of saying, okay, this is going to cost you But you have 3 months to save for it.
I think the other thing, yes, absolutely. Now, the other thing I thought was just add on the iPhones.
Yeah.
They've invented a new word.
Okay, tell me.
They invented a new word for the front-facing camera.
Okay.
Which will be able to take slow-motion pictures.
Okay.
Of selfie slow-mos. So guess what they're calling it? A slow-fee. They've invented a new word, slow-fee. And so they're just like, we want to see your slow-fees.
Oh, I'm so depressed. And I just like, who wants to take selfie snowmos? I'm saying who's got it, and I know, I just know even as soon as it's out, we're going to be murdered with people doing selfies.
Everywhere. Hashtag slow-fees.
Everywhere. Yeah. People taking slow-fees, and you'd be like, just, I'm not even looking at that.
Absolutely. I know, indeed. It's like, I just
slow-fees. So what tech developments and new products are you looking forward to testing for yourself over the coming months?
Well, I mean, I've just, recently I've Fitbit Versa.
Oh, yeah.
Fitbit Versa is great, but they've actually also just released Fitbit Versa 2.
Okay.
And I'd love to get my hands on one of these.
Okay, so what's
with
new?
Alexa built in.
Oh, that's interesting.
So actually like Apple Watch with Siri, and now Fitbit actually Alexa building in, so you have to say, hey Alexa, what's the, I have actually smart speakers at home actually, which I've been playing with and doing more experimenting with the Alexa smart speaker, and I've got a Google smart speaker as well, I was comparing the two.
Yeah.
I have to say I prefer Alexa, but I love actually in the morning, if I want to know the time, I don't need to look at the alarm clock and say, Alexa, what's the time?
Yeah, exactly.
And I just want to apologise if anybody had Alexa device that just kicked off.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's right, Alexa's all over the country, springing to life.
Other tech news, Samsung, of course, they just released their Galaxy 10 with Note, which is really, again, they're trying to get into this whole, like, replacing your computer with a phone, being able to write on it and with a keyboard.
Absolutely.
Like, the iPhone Pro is doing as well.
Is this the one that had the fold in it, that had the technical problems?
No, not that one.
Okay. Now, did they get that sorted in the end?
No, I was just looking at it. I don't know that they have.
Yeah.
I was just trying to find something on that, but I didn't. Now, I have to say, foldable phones to watch out for, or I should say flip phones to
flip
watch
phones,
out for.
Flip phones, sure.
I just love, there was something about the flip phone, wasn't it?
Just like, brings me back to my Motorola.
Just like Nokia launching a new flip phone.
Yeah.
And it looks classic. It's classic Nokia 2720 flip. Has two displays.
Yeah.
Okay, so the front display has the time on it, and it's quite nice. And you fold it over for another display, and you've got a nice, reasonable size, big size keyboard as well. Flip, and it even has, if you're trying to get away from Facebook and WhatsApp, well, you don't have to install it, but it does come with Facebook and WhatsApp, and it's 4G as well, and a 28-day battery life.
Lovely.
That's a gadget I want to play with.
Yeah,
I want
that's
to try.
Proper now. And 28 days of battery, like, no, once a month.
It used to be, wasn't it? You just remember, this is my new phone, and this is my battery.
That's right, but actually, you were talking about the flip phones, and that's exactly, my first flip phone was 90, my first mobile phone was a flip phone, it was a Motorola, 1991, and it was the size of your leg.
Yes.
It was immense. You nearly
I used to have one of those big phones. Motorola, do you remember the Razr?
Yeah.
I loved the Razr. I used to have a Razr, and I gave it away, regrettably.
They're lovely. They're cute little things.
But they're meant to be bringing out a Motorola Razr Flip, a new kind of foldable phone Razr, which would be expensive, won't be a cheap phone.
So listen, great chatting to you about technology. Always a pleasure, Richie, and we'll talk to you again very shortly, I hope. God bless you, man.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.